Our text today is in your service folder, selected verses from Luke chapter 4. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And then he said, "Assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then, passing through the midst of them, he went on his way. "These are your words, Heavenly Father. Lead us in the way of truth. Your word is truth. Amen." I know a young man your age. He grew up in a good Christian family. I know that he went to church every Sunday. I know he went to Lutheran elementary school. I know he went to Lutheran high school. I know that he learned lots of memory verses. I know that he studied his catechism. I know that he was faithful in confirmation class. And I know that when he got out of high school, he started to push away a little bit from God's word. And he started to stop going to church, to stop gathering with his family around family devotions, to the point that his father became very concerned about this young man. And so the father, seeing that this boy was pushing away Jesus and pushing away his word, the father sat down with his son, and he had a heart-to-heart conversation with his son. And basically, this dad asked his boy, "Why have you stopped going to church? Why are you pushing away your Savior? Why are you pushing away the Word of God?" You know what this young man answered? He was very frank with his father. He looked at his dad and he said, "Dad, it's boring. It's boring. I've heard the same thing for 20 years. I've heard about sin for 20 years. I've heard about Jesus dying on the cross for 20 years. The sermons are boring. The Bible stories are boring. The hymns are boring. The liturgy's boring. It's all the same. Dad, it's boring." Have you ever felt like that? Do you ever feel like the chapel speakers here are boring? Do you ever feel like your home pastor is boring? Do you ever feel like your religion classes are boring? It reminds me of what happened in Jesus' hometown in Nazareth during a worship service. Here's what happened. Jesus had been in his ministry for about a year. He had grown very famous because of his preaching and because of the many miracles he had performed, particularly in a town called Capernaum. It so happened that Jesus went back for a visit in his hometown, his little hometown of Nazareth. And as was Jesus' custom, Saturday came along, the Sabbath day, and it was Jesus' custom to go to church, the Bible tells us. So Jesus went to his hometown church in the little town of Nazareth where everybody knew him. He had grown up with all these people. And as was the custom in the synagogue, for males 30 years or more, they were given the opportunity to read. And so Jesus, in his hometown, was given the opportunity to read, and he opened up the scroll to the book of Isaiah. And he read these words from the book of Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled the scroll back up, and the Bible tells us he sat down, which would have been in the rabbi's seat, and he began a little sermon. And his little sermon began this way: "Today, these words are fulfilled in your hearing." He was telling all the people in his hometown, "I am the Messiah." Well, the Bible tells us the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. Can you imagine? That certainly was no boring sermon. Everybody was riveted to what Jesus said. However, when Jesus' little sermon was over, Jesus, knowing the hearts of the people in the congregation, knowing exactly what they were thinking, said this to them. He said, "Surely you say to yourselves, do for us here in our hometown what you did in Capernaum." Now, what had Jesus done in Capernaum? Jesus had done many miracles in Capernaum. In their hearts, they were not satisfied with the simple little sermon, the Word of God that Jesus had preached to them. Jesus knew in their hearts they were saying, "Give us something exciting. Give us something thrilling. Give us a miracle. Give us some bling. Give us something we can hang our hats on." They weren't satisfied with the simple, plain Word of God. Jesus did not give them what they asked for, and so they led him to a cliff to throw him over the edge, to get rid of him. You know what? That, unfortunately, is a pretty accurate picture of our sinful nature and how our sinful nature reacts to the Word of God. The Word of God is the dearest, most important thing that you have in this entire world. It is the thing the Holy Spirit works through to create faith, keep you in your faith, build you up in your faith. It is critical. Therefore, our sinful nature, which is always opposed to everything that God loves and everything that God stands for, is most going to disapprove of the Word of God. And it is our sinful nature's very nature that when it hears the Word of God, for example, when my sinful nature and your sinful nature hears about sin, our sinful nature doesn't like to hear about that. It makes our sinful nature feel guilty. It makes our sinful nature feel like we've done something wrong. And so what is our sinful nature's reaction? Our sinful nature's reaction is this. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I hear the same old thing. I hear about the same old sins Sunday after Sunday. It's boring. It's boring to hear about sin. I want to hear about something new. And when our sinful nature hears the gospel, and the gospel is the message that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, our sinful nature has a tendency to think, well, am I really that bad that I need to have all my sins paid for? And if I have heard the gospel already once or twice and I know Jesus died for my sins, can't we move on from there to something new and something different? And our sinful nature says regarding the gospel, it's the same thing. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I hear Jesus died for my sins. It's boring. But brothers and sisters, the very thing that our sinful nature finds boring, what is it? It's the fact that the Word of God does not change. The fact that the Word of God never changes. The fact that the Word of God always remains the same, that which our sinful nature finds boring, is exactly where you and I go to find our ultimate strength and our ultimate security and our ultimate comfort. Thank God that the Word of God never does change. That it will remain the same. It remains firm. It stands secure. It'll never change. And it was true when you were born, it'll be true the day you die. It was true 100 years before you were born, it'll be true 100 years after you die, that sin is sin. And it will always remain sin. And sin and sinners deserve to be condemned. And that will never change. But it will also never change. It will never change. It was true when you were born. It will be true the day you close your eyes for the last time. It will be true for your children. It will be true for their grandchildren, just as it was true for your mother and father and your grandparents and generations before them, that God came to this world, took on human flesh for you. God went to the cross. God suffered and died. God paid for your guilt, for your sin. God has removed your guilt. Your sin is gone. He will not hold it against you. He's declared you to be not guilty for Jesus' sake. That is the old, old story. And it will never change. It will always remain firm. And that is where we find our security. Brothers and sisters, that is not boring. That's our life. That is our life. It will always remain true. It was true 150 years ago, and it's true today when your pastor stands in front of the congregation and he says, "By the authority of God, I declare unto you the gracious forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," that the Spirit works through those words of absolution to deliver the very forgiveness that Christ has won on the cross. That will never change. Thank God it'll never change. It will never change because the Word of God is changeless. When you go to the Lord's Supper, when your children go to the Lord's Supper, when your great-grandchildren go to the Lord's Supper, they will receive the body and blood of our Savior, and they will receive through the words the very forgiveness of their sins because it is the old, old story. It does not change. It remains firm and it remains secure. And that is where we find our strength. So, our sinful nature is going to be bored with the Word of God. It's always going to look for something new and exciting and thrilling and something with bling. But don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Let's walk in the old ways and stay in the old paths in the Word of God. The changeless Word of God, because there is our strength and our security. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We have two prayer requests. One is a request on behalf of Lynn Kessel, who will undergo surgery this week, and one is a request on behalf of Nate Abramson for his aunt Arlene Hallman, who, after battling cancer for 5 years, appears her cancer has finally taken the upper hand, and she's expected to pass away at any time. So we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of your child, Lynn Kessel. We thank and praise you for her marvelous recovery, and ask that you would again guide the hands of the surgeon, grant wisdom to those who will provide her with medical care, that she will be brought safely through this procedure. We ask that all of this be done according to your gracious will, through Jesus Christ, the great physician of our souls. We also pray that you would watch over Nate Abramson's aunt, Arlene. If it is your will, help this cup of cancer to pass from her. Nevertheless, not our will, but your will be done. We pray that you would give her and her family absolute firm confidence in the forgiveness of sins, the promise of eternal life, and the promise of resurrection from the dead. Lord Jesus, who dost love us, O spread thy wings above us and shield us from all harm. Though evil would assail us, thy mercy will not fail us. We rest in thy protecting arms. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Thank you.
Each year at this time, during the Winter Board of Regents meeting, we take the opportunity to recognize milestone anniversaries of employees of Bethany Lutheran College and Bethany Lutheran Theological Seminary. And this year it's no different than any other. So we want to take a few minutes to recognize those individuals. Those people will be receiving two things. One will be a certificate that says Bethany Lutheran either Theological Seminary or College, Mankato, Minnesota, in grateful recognition for service to Christ and His Church, Bethany Lutheran College and Theological Seminary present this token of appreciation with a prayer of thanksgiving to, and then the name of the individual in their position who has served Bethany for the past X number of years, presented this 12th day of February 2007, and it's signed by Reverend John Molstead, the Chairman of the Board of Regents, who is here with me to give out the awards. Then probably slightly more importantly, there is a little token of appreciation that goes along with this. And so those two things will be given to each of the individuals. This year we have 11 people that we'll be recognizing that represent 200 years of faithful service collectively to Bethany Lutheran College. That's a huge number of years, and it really speaks to the commitment of the men and women that serve here at Bethany. And so we're pleased to be able to recognize these individuals today. So what we'd like to do is to ask them to come forward. We'll give them their certificate and cash token here. And then we ask that you would refrain from recognizing them until everybody's up here, and then we can congratulate them all together. After we're done, then I would invite you all, if you're able, to join us in the Great Hall for a reception for these people. Now, this year, we've got both representatives from the college and the seminary, and typically the president of the seminary makes the award for the individuals from the seminary. Unfortunately, this year, it's the president of the seminary that's being recognized, and so I thought it was a little awkward that he make the presentation to himself, you know. So you'll have to put up with me for that. Now, I had thought about maybe including a few little stories, but there is an unspoken rule among presidents that we do not tell any stories about one another, and so hopefully Galen will remember that at the appropriate time himself. So with that, we would ask President Schmeling to come forward for 10 faithful years of service to Bethany Lutheran Theological Seminary. From the college side, we recognize Silas Bourne in elementary education for 10 years of service. Silas couldn't be with us here this morning because he had to be with one of our student teachers. Connie Meyer, bookstore assistant manager, 10 years of service. Miller, director of accounting, 10 years of service. Mark Brosnan, Pioneer College Caterers, 15 years of service. Julie Ewart, Coordinator, Circulation Interlibrary Loan, 15 years of service. Elaine Lucan, Coordinator of Campus and Community Events, 15 years of service. John Saloff, Director of Information Technology, 20 years of service. Judy Head, housekeeping in Pioneer College Caterers, 25 years of service. Erling Tigan, religious studies and philosophy, 30 years of faithful service. And this last one I have to spend just a minute on. Bethany Lutheran College is celebrating its 80th year of existence this year. This particular individual has been here half of those years. And during that time, he has served under 5 different presidents and has served in a wide variety of capacities on this campus. And we have been blessed for these 40 years of his service here. And that's Ron Young, who is a Vice President of Academic Affairs. Please join me in congratulating these people. Again, thank you all for your service, and please join us for a celebration at this time.